You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Today is lesson number two in what we've called From the Bush to the Mount to the Holy of Holies. And of course, that's, if your mind is quick, like mine is, you figured out that's Moses. He went from the burning bush to the Mount of God, Mount Sinai, and then to the Holy of Holies. And there's a progression there that we're looking at that is a progression for our life, or can be for our life. Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, we looked at this carefully here several Wednesday nights ago. In fact, Brother Andrew wrote a melody to some of these words. But look in Revelation 15, verse 2. It says, "And I saw," John seeing something in heaven, "and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." Now these were people that literally were upon the earth while he was reigning. And they've gotten the victory over him. They probably is us, as you've heard me say in the past. Verse 3, listen, look what they sang here. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God." Now why would they be singing the song of Moses? "And the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of the saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." As I was going through this, it dawned on me that the song of Moses and that of the Lamb is an unusual combination. And yet, as we look at the life of Moses, we can see how if we allow the Lord by His Spirit to take us through the growth process that He means for us to have, just like Moses did, we're going to have a song to sing when we get there. One that is genuine, one that is sincere, one that is heartfelt, one that is full of gratitude for what God has done within us and through us upon the earth, just like He did the man Moses. We began talking about spiritual growth last lesson with Moses as our case study. Now, if you've never been to college, and that's okay, you may not know what a case study is. It seems like they give you case studies every 2 or 3 days, and they get boring after a while because that's a really in-depth study of some particular person or thing or something. Well, we're having a case study on the man Moses. Very quickly, Moses moves from his first encounter with Yahweh at the burning bush to standing in His presence at the top of Mount Sinai, and eventually as the friend of God in face-to-face conversations at the tabernacle of His presence. Now, that didn't happen. It didn't take 20, 30, 40 years for that to happen. It took 80 years to get Moses to that point, but very quickly after that, when he got serious with God, he went from those transitions with God That's my point for you and I. We also can move very quickly when we finally give our life to God. Like that last song we sang, we pour out our life. We pour out our life. Now, although there seems to have been special grace for Moses to spiritually grow up so quickly, more quickly than you or I would under normal conditions, and these days and those to follow are not going to be normal anymore. Though there seems to be special grace for him to grow up quickly, his story gives us a picture of our highest potential while living upon this present earth. You can be like him in many ways, if you choose to. You and I can also be a Moses in many ways. We can and should respect the man. But we do not need to envy Moses, unless you're lazy. Unless you're spiritually lazy, you don't have to envy Moses in his relationship with God or the things God used him to accomplish. What he accomplished, especially in those early years, is miraculous. But it really was through the power of God. We live at the very end of the age where the miraculous, the terrifying, the spectacular, and the cataclysmic are going to happen. When these days are all over with, listen, I want you to listen to this. When these days are all over with, they will have been times that even Moses will look upon some men and women that God used and have the same kind of respect for them as we have for him. Might that be you? It's up to you. For the children of Israel, living in Egypt, the times had become unbearable, which had set the stage for their deliverance. Nobody wants to leave something comfortable and everything's going just fine, do they? No, it's got to get rough and tumble. It's got to become difficult before you want to change. I've often thought, with the way the things go in our country, where's another place that I could be a pilgrim and go to? There aren't any countries left in the world that we can do that. So we're stuck here, I suppose. But God knows. They had to have these unbearable times to prepare them to want to leave the culture and the former comfort of Goshen. From time to time over the years, I've commented how you first have got to have the want to. If you don't have the want to, it don't matter how much I preach or how much I teach or whatever you see in anybody else's life that you say, wow, that'd be cool to be like that. If you don't want to have the want to, you'll never take the steps to become or go that direction to become what you see. It was necessary for these hardships to come in order for the want to develop in them to lead that culture and the comforts of Goshen. That is what we are even now beginning to see. Things upon the earth and even here in the richest and most powerful country in the world are becoming harder to cope with. I heard about somebody that I actually know a couple of weeks ago. I didn't know he was worth this much, but he lost over $1 million in the stock market in recent months. It's becoming very difficult out there. And people that have lots of money don't have half as much as they used to have. We have sickness and disease that are threatening us. I think it was Wednesday I mentioned that in the Ukraine, that's a country over former Soviet Russia country, they have an outbreak of what's actually pneumonic plague. Pneumonic plague is where the lungs, you get sick with this particular virus, your lungs fill up with blood. From the moment you get it until you die is roughly 72 hours. It's very deadly, very serious. And there are reports that it's already drifted out of the Ukraine into Romania. There are confirmed reports that over 1 million Ukrainians have been infected. The death rate is 10 times what the H1N1 is. 10 times. I didn't make that number up. That's the fact. There are things coming upon the world that are scary. Civil unrest and spiritual upheavals are beginning to be seen all over, especially in our country. I don't know if you've been aware of tea parties that have been going on all over the United States. And no, that's not where they get around. They sit around and they have tea. We had a spirited conversation yesterday, what NJ thought the tea parties were. We're having tea parties in this country where people are gathering by the hundreds and thousands and protesting what's going on in Washington, D.C., and as they should, with all the mess that's going on. Civil unrest and spiritual upheavals are beginning to be seen, clearly seen, easily seen all over the world. Wickedness is getting the upper hand, or so it would seem to the faithless and the fearful. Now, you're supposed to be the fearless and the faithful, but there's plenty out there that are the faithless and the fearful. And it seems like wickedness is getting the upper hand in the world. The population of the world is in the middle stages of a polarization. Polarization means you go to one side or the other. It's kind of like two boxers in a ring. You know, when the bell rings, you go to your side and he goes to his side. The ends of a magnet are polarized. One side can't stand to be near the other. The population of the world is in the middle stages of a polarization with the good and the godly on the one side and the worldly and the wicked on the other. And you need to know that on the good and godly side, there are very few of us in comparison to the numbers on the worldly and wicked side. For those on the Lord's side, I perceive there will be two groups in these last days, two groups that are on the Lord's side, two groups of Christians, the leaders and the followers. Now, I didn't say the clergy and the laity. That system is condemned by God, believe it or not. It is condemned by God, by the Lord Jesus himself in Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. Those are the works and the doctrines and the teachings and the practices of the Nicolaitans. That was the clergy-laity system. There was never to be a high-ranking group of ministers and everybody else. Never. We're all to be co-ministers together. But I believe there will be two groups, not the clergy and the laity. In fact, most clergy, once the tribulation really gets started and people say, "How come we're still here? You told us we'd be gone!" They're going to tar and feather them and run them out of town. Nobody's going to want to be found out that they were clergy because they didn't know better. They didn't teach the truth. There won't be clergy and laity per se. Well, maybe in the worldly churches, but not in the true church. But there will be leaders and followers in the true church in these last days. Most believers will be followers. Behind those that have early on come out of the world and its Antichrist system and become strong in the things of Almighty God. What we could call a cadre of Moses types. Cadre means a nucleus with which something is built around. The leaders will be a cadre of Moses types. Men and women of various ages that have had a burning bush encounter with God and walked away from that, absolutely committed to the will of God, as did Moses. These men and women will be those that have not literally stood in front of a burning bush, but were saved by God, who did fan the spark of His touch upon their lives. And that spark became a fire in their lives that consumed their sin and all of their worldly entanglements. That's what the spark that you fan into a flame in your life will do for you, every one of you. It'll burn away the sin, and it'll burn you loose from all of the entanglements, all the tentacles of the world that have gotten a hold of you and they hold you back. The fire of God upon you will do those things. These men and women, hopefully you, are themselves a bush that burns, but is not consumed, in a manner of speaking. Lives by which others become aware of a living, powerful, loving God and Savior, and will themselves turn aside to see this great sight. as it lives through you. That's what Moses did. That's what we're to do. Such a man or woman can you be to those who are out of step and behind the times, followers that will emerge from the disruptions of normal life, the normal life that has become sheer chaos, finally seeking to really know the Lord. It's no secret, I fully expect this building to be full one day soon. Not that I'm looking for numbers, but people are going to come out of the woodwork scared and looking for somebody to tell them the truth. You have a choice to make, you here, you listening, to be spiritually strong at one level or another. Nobody's calling you to be as prominent as a Moses was, but God is calling every one of us to one level of spiritual strength or another. You have a choice to make to be spiritually strong at one level or another, or to be a follower. Now, I don't mind following good leaders, not at all. But there's going to be very few, and so if that's the case, I'm going to be a leader in the things of God, in trusting God, in declaring the Word of God, in doing and saying and speaking and performing those things that God has put on my mind. Go take care of this. Go do that. What about you, I ask? If you are content to be a follower in these ensuing years, you need to do nothing. Just keep doing whatever you're doing. If you're a follower now, and you'll be a follower then. But you better hold on to your faith in Jesus, or you will be lost. The Word is full of exhortations. Only he who endures to the end will be saved. So if you're content to be a follower, that's your business. But you better hold on to your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you'll not even be a follower. You'll be marked with the beast's Antichrist number, and you'll be lost forever. If you wish to walk in strength, the strength and the courage that the Lord has called you to, walk in the footsteps of Moses and those of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what reminded me of Revelation 15. They sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. If you wish to be strong and have courage, then you too need to walk in the footsteps of Moses and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses left the burning bush on a mission. A great many things would not go his way. And yet the Lord was at work from beginning to end, even when they blew up 9 times with Pharaoh, right? 10 plagues, 9 of them. He said, nope, you're not going. On the 10th, he finally said, okay, go. I'm sure that Moses went away each time saying, oh man, I blew it, or something, I didn't do something right. You know, this should have been easier than this. A great many things would not go his way, and yet the Lord was at work from beginning to end. We need not be intimidated by what God calls to do. If it's a great and spectacular thing, you say, there's no way. I'm too small. I'm not smart enough. I'm not this. I'm not that. I don't have this. I don't have. And yet, you've heard from God. Don't be intimidated by what He's called you to do. You think Moses felt qualified to march into Egypt, walk into the very presence of the greatest ruler, the most powerful ruler in all the world at that time, and say, by the way, I'm here. I used to live in this place. But my God has sent me to say, let my people go, or else. And my goodness, what happens if Pharaoh does? I mean, if you can imagine Moses, what am I going to do with 2 million people? How is that going to work? Where are we going to get food? I mean, you got 3 days worth of food you probably carry, but what do we do after 3 or 4 days? We start eating the donkeys? What? There's not enough fish in the Red Sea to feed this whole group. What do we do? It was monstrous what God asked him to do. And yet, God said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of the details. I am God, you are not. You and I cannot be intimidated by what God has called us to do. Remember that. Don't let the monstrosity of what He's called you to do scare you into not doing it. because He is God. Nor should we become frustrated when things seem to get delayed or go wrong. Just go back to the Lord. Lord, if I did something wrong, forgive me. Help me to know how to fix this. And God will say, no, it's right on schedule. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing what I tell you to do and it'll be okay. Pharaoh was raised up by God. Yes, Pharaoh was. That's what the Word of God teaches us in the New Testament. Pharaoh was raised up by God to do and to be exactly who he was by the foreknowledge of God. And nothing Egypt's ruler did was a surprise to God. He knew he was going to do it 9 times and say, no, you're not going to go. He knew he would threaten Moses and make their lives harder for a short period of time by taking away their straw. So God knew all about that. God used Pharaoh's insolence to display his power. And he used Moses' simple obedience to deliver his people of 2 million, all according to God's plan. Wow. You and I only need to make ourselves available to God. I have nothing against higher education. I have nothing against seminary, though I do have some guidance for those that might go to seminary now in this day and age. I have nothing against those kinds of things. But you don't have to do any of those things to do what God has called you to do. If God says, I want you to go here and do this and do that, or minister here or serve that, he said, well, Lord, that's all fine. I'll do that, but first I need to go to Bob Jones University or Oral Roberts U or some of these other places that I don't know anything about. God says, I'm not asking you to do that. All we have to be when God speaks to our life is available. It's like being unemployed, huh? You don't have a job, you need a job, and somebody calls and they said, are you available to work? What are you going to say? Well, I don't know, what you paying? Do you got any benefits? What about vacation? Do I get my birthday off? You do that, they're going to say, I think I dialed the wrong number. Click. What you do is they call you and they say, hey, I've got this job. We're over here at such and such and so and so. It seems to line up with your character, with your qualifications and your income requirements. When are you available? I can be there in 15 minutes. You got to be available to God. That's all he asks, is be available. Be available to God and then walk in obedience to his will. And he will take care of everything else. If you need an education, he'll get you an education. If you need this or that, special arrangements, I don't know, you figure it out. If you need those things, God will provide them. He's capable of doing that, All you have to do to be is available. Our job is to stay in step with the Holy Spirit. And he will work all things for our good and according to the plan of God. And there's going to be some bumps along the way because he wants you to learn some things or let go of some soulish baggage or something. So the trouble that he allows you to run into or the delays he lets you run into are all his plan to get you even more qualified than you are when he called you. He works it all out. Leave your burning bush simply dedicated to trust and obey El Shaddai. That means God Almighty. I love that particular designation of our God. Almighty God. Think about those words. Almighty. There's nothing he can't do. Leave your burning bush simply dedicated to trust and obey El Shaddai, and he will lead you to the next place of your spiritual promotion at the Holy Mount when it's right, when it's time. The man Moses spiritually grew quickly because things did not come easy on his mission. That's why he grew so quickly spiritually in the presence of God. Things didn't go well ever, hardly ever. And he had to learn some things quickly, and by the help of the Holy Spirit of God, he was able to understand and shed some attitudes and some things about himself that put him in a place where he was becoming more and more intimate with I Am. He was finding I Am was a good name for him. I am your strength. I am your courage, Moses. I am your sustenance, Moses. I am your provider. I am your peace. The more trouble he went through, the more he was able to understand who I Am was to him. So he could best represent I Am to the people he would be leading. Pharaoh did not cooperate, as you know the story, despite all the plagues. What good did these things do for and teach Moses between the bush and the Exodus? You know, the Exodus is when they actually got set free and they borrowed everything they could from their neighbors, all the gold and silver and pots and stuff like that. I mean, they basically took spoil of the whole city and then they took off. Yeah. What good did that do for Moses? What did that teach him between the burning bush and the actually leaving of Egypt? There's five things that I quickly saw. Number one, as God's instrument, that means the tool that Moses was in God's hand, Moses accepted his limitations and his shortcomings. You need to also. You're not God's gift to the world. You're not God's gift to the church. You are simply a tool in the hand of God. You have some strengths and abilities, but most of them you do not have. Other people have them. We need to accept who we are and be comfortable and at peace in serving God within the area of what He's given us to do that with. Moses had accepted his limitations and his shortcomings. That's important. Otherwise, you're always striving against yourself. You've always got a pride issue or an ego issue. And you can't get close to God with those things. I think you know. Here's another one. Moses refused to be puffed up as the ambassador of El Shaddai. You don't think when any of the ambassadors that represent President Obama, when they walk into another president's chamber in another country, you don't think they walk in feeling pretty powerful, pretty important? Moses represented God Almighty, and he stayed humble. You must stay humble. No matter what God uses you, no matter what spectacular displays of His power you're in the middle of, it's not you. It's God. Stay humble, or God can't use you anymore. He refused to be puffed up as the ambassador of Almighty God. Here's another one. He stayed the course. He didn't quit the race. He didn't give up. No matter how many times the plan fell through, or at least what he thought the plan was, he kept going. Can you imagine after the fourth or fifth time if it was you and God said, okay, go back to Pharaoh. Oh, man, do I have to again? Oh, man, can't you do it differently? Or, you know, he's just going to do it again to us. No, send Aaron. I'm done. I quit. Did he do that? No. He said, okay. Back in he went. And Pharaoh said, oh, no. Here's that guy again. Oh, my goodness. Who let the door open? Moses went right back. No matter how many times the plan seemed to fall through, Moses stayed the course. Don't give up. Don't give up. There was the first two or three times that Moses thought, and he said this, but it was all part of God's plan. Oh, I've used your power and your staff so foolishly. Why? Well, he threw the stick down, it became a snake. The magicians threw the stick down, it became a snake. He touched the water and became blood. Some of the magicians touched the water and became blood. Moses was thinking, well, I'm not very good at this. God was only mocking his own, Pharaoh's own magicians and gods. But eventually, Moses began doing things by the power of God they couldn't do. And they said, this is his God, because we can't do it. He didn't give up. He stayed the course. even though it didn't look like he was doing such a good job. Leave it to God. Here's another one. He learned to leave the results of the work that he did for God with God. Lord, I gave him your message. I don't know if he's going to do it or not. He learned to leave the work that he did for God in the hands of God. You know, so many people think that they go and they go out and they witness on the street, they've got to come back and they've got to have been able to have led 12 people in the sinner's prayer. I witnessed to 12 people. I got to come back with 12 notches on my Bible. What if all 12 of them weren't ready? Maybe you force them to pray the sinner's prayer and they go away feeling, boy, the next time I see a guy like that, I'm going to pop him in the nose. Or I'm going to run the other way. You hindered the work. Go and share the gospel or do what God asks you to do and then do up to the point He asks you to do and say, okay, Lord, that's what you asked me to do. Am I done? If He says, yes, you're done. But you see, the job isn't done. Commit it to the Lord and go your way. Let the work that you do for God be left in God's hands. Even Paul said, hey, you're not responsible for that whole crop out there. One guy went and did all the plowing. Now, I don't know if you've done any plowing, but it's not easy. And then another guy went out there and planted it. A little bit easier, but probably no less tedious. One, two, three. Oh my goodness, this field is 3 acres long. Four, five, six. And even that guy doesn't get the credit because God's the one that reigns on it and says, grow. And it grows. It's the same thing. You do your part and leave the rest to God. So many people got to do everybody else's part too. That's why I so love it when more and more of what we do here on our Sabbath meetings, other people are sharing. I don't want to do it all. Sometimes my wife will say, would you sing for me? A soul? I said, no, I don't want to. I love to sing. But I don't want one more thing that I'm doing. I mean, if one does this and one does that and one does this and I only get up to teach, praise the Lord! Oh yeah, I'll sing, because it's not a Scott show. Not that it ever is, because I always point you to Jesus, but my point is, don't think you got to do everybody's job also. Do what God calls you to do, leave it rest in His hands, let God work out all the other details. Be content with that. Here's another thing that I noticed. He stayed focused on God, rather than on what his countrymen had to say to him, or what Pharaoh threatened to do to him. He stayed focused on God. That's some really good advice. Whatever you're going through, whatever God calls you to do, whatever is out there in the years ahead, you stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't worry about what church people are saying about you. Don't worry about what the world is threatening to do to you. If God has called you to do it, you do it. Don't let anything hinder you. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we're practicing the Word more than most any other people that I know of. And they don't like it. Maybe it's some of your family members making fun of you, teasing you. You stay the course. You keep focused on Jesus and what the Word of God says. And you can't go wrong. You cannot go wrong. Stay focused on what the Lord says. You be a Sabbath keeper. You give up Easter and Halloween and what's it, Christmas and all these other things and Lent and you know all this other stuff that has nothing to do with your salvation and your relationship with God. Don't worry about it that you're being teased. You stay focused on Jesus. That's what Moses did. He stayed focused on God rather than on his countrymen and on Pharaoh. Are these valuable things to know for anyone among us that desires to be molded like a Moses for these closing days? Absolutely. You too can become a mighty servant for God if you realize that you are weak, but He is strong. If you are humble in the midst of the supernatural power and the knowledge that God manifests through you in your life of service, you too can become mighty. You too can represent the eternal Creator, but you may only speak the words He gives you and do the things that He asks you one that may grow tired here and there. Nothing. Let me start over. You can represent the eternal Creator, but you may only speak the words He gives you and do the things that He asks you to do, nothing less and nothing more. Do what God's asked you to do. Don't embellish it. Don't throw in something extra for free. Keep it to what God's plan is. You must be a man or a woman that perseveres, that doesn't give up. One that may grow tired here and there, but one that never gives up on God or His plans or His assigned mission. My wife and I cannot believe how at our young age how tired we are. I'm too young to be as tired as I am. But no matter how tired we are, every day we get up and we keep doing. You may get there also, no matter how tired you are. You see, I prayed a long time ago. I don't know that it was a smart thing to do then, but I said, Lord, by the end of my life, when I finally die, I want to be fully used up for You, fully spent. If I'm a change purse full of money, when my last day comes, I want my purse to be empty. I've been spent thoroughly, completely used up for Your glory. You see that? I prayed that 20, 25 years ago, and I meant it. Now I'm starting to feel like I'm down to my last nickel. Lord, I've only got a nickel left in this bag. Lord, I think there's a long time for me yet to go. Yet, can You bless this nickel and stretch it? We do get tired. There's nothing wrong with getting tired from time to time. Just so long as you're not getting tired because you're doing more than you should be. That's called burnout. There's no excuse for burnout in serving God. No excuse whatsoever. I've known many preachers, literally known many preachers over the years that have left the ministry because of burnout. And yet when you look at their lives, as I have done, you see, well, while he was leading this church, he was building houses over here, and he was doing this over there, and he was doing this over here. There's no wonder he's burned out. If he hadn't have done all those things, if he just stayed focused on what God had called him to do, he would still be in the ministry today. But getting tired from time to time is okay. You don't think Moses got tired? I bet he's got some stories. Such a person, such a mighty person will rise and do the works of God, simple or magnificent, and not be tempted in the least to think it is him or her that's done this great thing. It was God. What He calls you to do or to say, find their success in the power of God. And not you, and therefore you will leave the outcome of your words and deeds in the hands of God. And no matter what the accusations are against you, if you know they're not true, or how frequently you are mocked, even by family members, or what the gossipers say, or how scary the threats are toward you from even our own ranks or those of the wicked world, you, if you're like Moses, you will not lose focus on your King and Lord. That will get you through. That's what made Moses so blessed as he grew up quickly before God. And you can too. Let me share some scriptures for you. You should look these up again later and kind of digest them. Think about them. One of my favorites is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Some of you know this well, at least a part of it. Then the angel answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? You got a great mountain out there in front of you that's stopping you from doing what God has called you to do. We see this here. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain. He shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. If you're moving according to the Spirit of God and what the Holy Spirit wants, the mountain that was there will melt before you and become a plain. Whatever the mountain is. If you're on a mission from God. Not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11. Let me remind you what Paul said. Not that I speak of in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, that means knocked down and made low. And I know how to abound, to have plenty of what I need. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. But I like what verse 13 says that the NIV doesn't even say anymore. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. The NIV, if I remember right, changed Christ to Him. Now isn't that a real powerful word? I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Well, who is Him? No, I like the word that was there in King James, through Christ, the anointed one of God who strengthens me. You in these days, Paul didn't have even the Pentateuch to quote. You have such verses as these when you get called into activity, when you get called to action like the military calls you up, says, report to duty. One of these days, God's going to send you a little whisper note in your waking moment, say, report for duty. And you can then begin to look at these and say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it's not by my might or my power or my education or my money or my status or this or that. It's by the Spirit that these things will happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. What happens as a result of your life and your ministry is never you. It's the power of God through you. Let's not forget that. Power of God and not of us. Listen to what Paul said. We are troubled on every side. Not going to be a cakewalk. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. You know that term cast down in the Old Testament has to do with sheep herding? I guess goats don't have this problem, but sheep do. Sheep get to the place in their growth each year. They've got so much wool on them. You ever seen a sheep that's full of wool? I mean, they're huge. You take you shear the wool off of them, and they're little skinny dudes, girls. But when they're full of wool, they are just heaping round. And you know what happens? If one of them ever falls down, they cannot get up. That's called cast. They are cast down. They need the shepherd to come and help them back up on their feet. Yeah, that's the truth. That's why David said, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God! He was thinking of a sheep that was laid down under the burden of its own responsibilities. It couldn't get up and needed help. Why are you cast down, O my soul? Hope thou in God. That's one of the reasons they carry those great big staffs. They use it as a lever. They stick it under the thing and just kind of wedge it up. Yeah, it's true. And if those poor girls ever get wet, oh man, Lord help them. Because you know, 50, 60, 70 pounds of wool that's wet is like 200 pounds. Because it's full of water. You don't believe me? Go put on a big old heavy pair of wool underwear and go get wet. You feel like you just gained 13 pounds. Oh, man. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, Paul says. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. When you have trouble, if you respond rightly, what people see in the midst of your trouble through your flesh is a picture of Jesus. if you behave right, if you're truly a disciple of the Lord. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. I die that you live. Basically, Paul said that somewhere else. I go through what I go through, and that puts the flesh to death so that I have life to share with you in the way of teaching and preaching and the truth of God. Same thing with everybody. The more mature you are, you die. You have those experiences where the flesh has to die. They're painful, they're difficult, they're hard to deal with. But when that flesh dies, life is released into you, and it's something that you can turn around and share with others. That's what he means here. Death worketh in us, but life in you. Second Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, I got plenty of time. Yeah. Verse 7. And lest I should be exalted. I like this one. And lest I should be exalted above measure. See, Paul had been to heaven at least once or so. Saw things that was not legal for man to utter. Those are his words, not mine. He saw things and God said, don't you tell anybody. Don't you tell anybody what you saw up here. I want it to be a surprise. I want it to be so spectacular they couldn't have even imagined it. So Paul, don't you tell them what you saw. So Paul gets back to earth and he says, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted, made prideful, above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. He said, three times he prayed, and Paul knew how to pray, Lord, take this from me. And it didn't happen. Now, Paul then would go back and say, Lord, I prayed three times. Nothing happened. What's the deal? Verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My kindness to you is enough. You're going to keep the thorn, Paul. Even with the thorn, you get plenty of grace, kindness, special things from me. So just kind of chill. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Listen to this. For my strength, God, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul learned something even in that. Oh, man. Paul then begins to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions. That doesn't mean he was a sadist, a masochist. You know, come and hurt me. Come and beat me up. Come and torment me so I can glory in the Lord. No, he was saying, in the midst of all those things that happened to me in life, I would go privately and he'd say, oh God, I worship you. Because I know it's in my weaknesses that these things can affect me, but I am strong in you. So just give me your strength now, Lord. Oh, I glory, I praise your magnificent name. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Somehow Moses knew this, these things. That's why I'm sharing them with you in this context. If you want to become a Moses, and I hope that you all do, these are the kinds of things you need to know about serving God. When I am weak, he is strong. Colossians 3, verse 12, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness, completion, maturity. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, young Moses, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly and in all wisdom. By the way, young Moses isn't in there. I just stuck that in case you're wondering. Yeah, that's not King James. Okay. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, listen to this, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Don't be shaken by what you're facing. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, Moses, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." He only devours flesh, by the way. Hint, hint. When you're walking in the flesh, he gets you. Chews you up and spits you out in little bitty pieces. But if you're spiritual, he can't touch you. "Whom resist steadfast in the faith," the devil, "knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." And listen to this, Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Praise the Lord. That's Ephesians 20 and 21. Now, let me close. By the grace of God, Moses had been the willing instrument of I Am. He was eventually successful in leading out from Egypt the nation of Israel. And they witnessed more mighty moves of God at the Red Sea. You know that story, right? Of course you do. And they found themselves eventually, didn't take too long, at the foot of the holy mountain of God, Mount Sinai. Moses' work, now if God had told him this at the burning bush, he would have run the other direction. He wouldn't have gone to Egypt. But this is a fact. If God had told Moses this, Moses would have been a Jonah. Where's that ship? Going to Tarshish. I don't want to go to Egypt. I want to go to Tarshish. Moses' work at this point, at the base of Mount Sinai, was only in just the beginning stages. I mean, this was weeks, perhaps a month at the most, by my understanding, from the time he went into Egypt until the time they stood at Mount Sinai. Maybe a month. Couldn't have been long. And yet, Moses' work was just beginning. If Moses had known that, he'd have pulled his hair out and went screaming in the other direction. "No, no, 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 get Aaron, get somebody, get Noel, I don't care, just don't use me anymore." His work was just beginning when they got to Mount Sinai. Why? He was with them 39 and three quarters more years. Moses' work was only just beginning, and to move on in his calling, the Lord beckons him now to the top of that very mountain. That for him was a promotion. Moses was getting promoted. Exodus chapter 24, 12 says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Come up to me into the mount and be there. And I will give thee tables of stone, and the law, and commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them." And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua, and Moses went up into the mount of God. And he said unto the elders, "Tarry ye here for us, until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man have any matters to do, let him come unto them." And Moses went up into the mount, and a cloud covered the mount. Far cry from a bush that was glowing, huh? And the glory of the Lord abode upon Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day, he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud. And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the mountain, the top of the mount, in the eyes of the children of Israel. And Moses went into the midst of the cloud and got him up into the mount. And Moses was in the mount 40 days and 40 nights. Wow. He got promoted. Took him right to the boardroom. Put him on the seat of directors. And you? You, yes, you? Each one of you? If you have followed eagerly, as did Moses, at a point sooner than later, you too have learned your lessons well, and as a result, the Lord calls you closer. You want to get closer? Let the Lord do this first part in your life. He can make a quick work of it if you're serious, if you're willing to give up the world. Instead of seeing just a glimmer of the glory of God shining forth from a simple bush, He now calls you to stand in a high place, actually in His glory, as He comes closer to you. Top of Mount Sinai wasn't heaven. It was just Moses' convenient abode to meet with God. God came to Moses. God will come to you. By being faithful in the small things, delivering the Israelites from Egypt was a small thing compared to what would come next. Poor guy. I mean, what actually happens to us? He goes down and they're dancing around a golden calf. He was just getting started. 2 million people. Almost all of them rebels. By being faithful in the small things, the Lord now invites you into His glorious presence and promotes you to that of being now not just an ambassador to some foreign country, now He makes you a messenger of His holy words and the ways of God to His people. What a promotion. James chapter 4, verse 6, I remind you, but He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. And verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. Beloved, be faithful to God in the small things that He has called you to do through His Word, and in due time, He will exalt you higher too. Be the best husband and father. Be the best mother and wife. Be the best son or daughter and brother and sister that you can be, and be a sincere believer. Love God and walk in all His ways, the ways that He's shown you so far. Do these, and you are making your way from the bush to the mountain of God. Amen. From the bush to the mountain to the Holy of Holies. Picture of our potential. But it's up to us. Praise the Lord. Father, we do glorify You. You are the same this very moment as You were when Moses stood before Your presence in the burning bush. You're the same, Lord. You're the same. You are I am to us. Thank You, Father. Oh, thank You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Holy Spirit of God.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.